morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to another Revelation Devotional. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church. It is good to be with you on this Monday morning. I hope your Monday's off to a good start. I hope you've got a good cup of coffee or tea or water or milk or whatever it is you drink in the morning. But I've got my coffee going in my wonderful blessed mug. Blessed man. Reminds me of what I am. We are in Revelation 4 and 5 this week. This is one of my favorite sections of Scripture. It's a very, very stirring section of Scripture as John is taken up into the throne room of God and given this vision of the worship that takes place around the throne of God in chapter 4. And then the focus becomes on the Lamb who is worthy to open the scroll in chapter 5. So today we're going to look at chapter 4, and then tomorrow and Wednesday we're going to look at chapter 5, which is a little bit longer and has a little bit more to go over. So let's pray, and then we'll dig into Revelation 4 together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day that you've given to us. Thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for giving us another day of life. Thank you for loving us with a love that is unfailing. Thank you for ruling over all of your creation with a sovereignty that is unrivaled. Father, we thank you for just being who you are. We ask that you would take your word this morning and write it on our hearts and help us to respond to your word with faith and love and joyful obedience to the glory of your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Revelation chapter 4. After this I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the voice, the first voice, which I had heard speaking to me like a trumpet, said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." At once I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne stood open in heaven. A throne stood in heaven, with one seated on the throne. And he who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. And around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and seated on the thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning, and rumblings, and peals of thunder. And before the throne were burning 7 torches of fire, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are 4 living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. The first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature like the face of a man, with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in flight. And the 4 living creatures, each of them with 6 wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And day and night they never cease to say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come." And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created." That's Revelation chapter 4. Well, John is given a unique invitation. He is the only one in human history who has been invited to come up into the throne room of heaven and to write down and report what he has seen. In 2 Corinthians 12, when Paul talks about his thorn in the flesh, he makes reference to being caught up into the third heaven. He does so in a very vague way. He says, "I know a man who was caught up into the third heaven." And there he says, these are things that cannot be spoken. The things that he saw were things that cannot be spoken, of which man is not permitted to speak. So there, no one's given permission to speak about what's in heaven. No one. No best-selling author who's peddling a book or a conference or a workshop or a video. They're not permitted to speak if they had actually seen it. I think they're mostly all fakes. But John is caught up into heaven. And John is given this vision. He's given a very specific vision that is full of meaning. Notice who summons him. It is the first voice, which he had heard speaking to him like a trumpet. It's Jesus. Remember from chapter 1, it's Jesus who says, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. So first in chapter 1, the Lord Jesus came down to John on the island of Patmos, and then he sent out his message to the seven churches. And now John is being caught up into the heavenly realm to see behind the curtain, as it will, the unveiling, the pulling back of the veil, so that John can see behind and see the eternal spiritual realities that are at work behind the physical world that we live in. And it begins in the throne room of God. The rest of Revelation will be a series of visions that John is given of insight into spiritual realities. They will be heavily symbolic. They will be full of imagery that is drawn from the Old Testament prophets. And so we'll need to do a lot of digging in the Old Testament to be able to come up with the significance, particularly once we get into chapter 6 and beyond. But we're going to try to stay as much as we can in the text of Revelation, because there's a lot to see here. So he was in the Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit was indwelling him and empowering him and carrying him up spiritually. He didn't physically leave Patmos, but he was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne stood in heaven with one seated on the throne. He had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. Notice John doesn't really give us a description of what God looks like, just that he had the appearance of these precious jewels with an internal radiance. Because God is a spirit, and this is a vision that John is being given. And so he's being shown something of significance. And what he sees is a throne that is full of and surrounded by glory. Around the throne was a rainbow that had the appearance of an emerald. How do you even picture that? A rainbow that has the appearance of an emerald. One who has the appearance of jasper and carnelian. This is telling us that God reigns. He is seated on the throne in heaven, and he reigns in glorious splendor that is beyond our capability to imagine. Now, there are people who have done artwork of things from Revelation where they try to draw, try to paint, try to depict these things. I think that's going down the wrong road. I think the best thing we can get is to just hear it with our ears and let it blow our imagination. Let it be beyond our ability to really picture or conceive, because God is bigger than what we can picture or conceive. God is one that is beyond our ability to fully comprehend. And so his glory that he reigns in is beyond our comprehension. Now, around the throne, there are 24 thrones. And seated on the 24 thrones were 24 elders, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads. This is very significant. 24 represents the complete number of the people of God. And it is taken from the 12 tribes of Israel and the 12 apostles of Jesus Christ. So the 12 patriarchs of the nation of Israel and the 12 apostles of the church of Jesus Christ. Together, that's 24. One of the things that we're going to see throughout Revelation is that God has a people, one people of God, worshiping one God, one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, around one throne in heaven, in one kingdom, with one purpose, with one New Jerusalem, and that it brings together believing Jews, from the Old Testament and Christians, believing Christians from the New Testament age, are brought together as one people of God, one church, one temple, one nation, one kingdom. And it's there are 24 elders over this kingdom. Now, are these the actual patriarchs and apostles themselves? Well, the problem with that, of course, is that John is one of them. So when he's not up there yet, there's different theories on this. I actually prefer the theory that these 24 elders are angelic beings, are archangels, if you will, who represent the people of God before the throne of God, rather than being the actual, like, being Dan and Naphtali and Judah and Issachar and Peter and James and Andrew and Bartholomew, rather than being those guys. Because I think if it was those guys, we would have been told, these are the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles. Instead, it's just left as 24 elders. Now, the significance, clothed in white garments with golden crowns on their heads, shows perfect righteousness, perfect spotless righteousness, and authority that is given to the people of God. We are clothed with Christ's righteousness, and we are endowed with Christ's authority under his lordship. From the throne come forth flashes of lightning and rumblings and peals of thunder. This is the power of God, and in particular, it is the power of God for judgment. And so we want to keep an eye out, because this particular image is going to recur several times in Revelation. Lightning, rumblings, peals of thunder. You think of a very, very powerful thunderstorm, right? It rolls in with a power and a strength that cannot be opposed, that cannot be stopped. You know, we can't just throw up a wall and keep the thunderstorm from coming in. There is an unopposable power that flows from the throne of God, and in particular, a power to judge. Before the throne of God, seven torches of fire, which are the seven spirits of God, or the sevenfold spirit of God. This is an image of the Holy Spirit, which is sent forth, who is sent forth from the throne of God, and who goes out into all the earth. And before the throne, there was, as it were, a sea of glass like crystal. This is a river sea that's been foretold throughout prophecy, flowing from the throne of God. It's a river of life. It's the sea of glass. And so it flows forth to bring life, to bring, just as the rumblings and lightning peals of thunder bring forth judgment to the world, the Spirit brings forth light to the world. And the sea of glass, like crystal, is the river of life that brings forth life and refreshment to the world. So from God Almighty on high come judgment, illumination, and life. Judgment, illumination, and life. They all come from God. All good things flow from God's heavenly throne. Around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures. These represent creation. The number four winds of heaven, four directions, north, south, east, west, four living creatures. This represents the totality of creation. Four living creatures, full of eyes in front and behind. That represents the omniscience of God, that God sees throughout all of his creation. There is nothing in all of creation that is hidden from the sight of God. That's what's being represented here. The first is like a lion. That's the king of the wild beasts. The second creature is like an ox. That's the king of the domesticated animals. The third living creature with the face of a man. Notice the others were like a lion, like an ox, like an eagle. And this one is with the face of a man. Because man is made in the image of God. And so, given the face of a man. Man is, of course, the supreme vice regent over creation, the one made in the image of God to rule over all of creation. It's significant that's the third living creature. Three is the number of divine, the Trinity. And the fourth living creature, like an eagle in flight, that's the king of the birds and fishes. So in the created order, birds and fishes are together. And if you think of the birds and fishes, the eagle is the king of the birds and fishes, the ox, the king of the domesticated animals, the lion, the king of the wild beasts, and man, the sovereign over all creation under God. And all of them are being represented here. Again, this is not an actual lion or an actual ox or an actual man or an actual eagle, but they are representing all of creation. That's part of what makes me think that the 24 elders are representing the church. They're not the actual people, but they're high, high angelic creatures who represent the church. These four living creatures, each of them have six wings. And we know from Isaiah that with two they cover their face, with two they cover their feet, and with two they fly. You're supposed to pick up from Isaiah and from Ezekiel background to this that we just don't have time to dig into. But go to Isaiah 6, go to Ezekiel 10, and you'll see some of the background from this. And they never cease to say day and night, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Boy, we could say so much about this. The essential attribute of God is his holiness. And he is thrice holy, which means he is intensely, supremely, unmatchedly, divinely, uniquely holy. Holy, holy, holy. I also think we have an echo of the Trinity there in holy, holy, holy. Holy Father, Holy Son, Holy Spirit. The Lord God Almighty. He is the Lord. He rules as the sovereign. He is God Almighty. And he was and is to come. In Hebrew, the name for God, the covenant name for God, Yahweh, has in it this idea of I am who I am, and I am who I was, and I am who I always will be, the eternally unchanging, same yesterday, today, and forever. Like Hebrews 13:8 tells us, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So this phrase is in Revelation, who was and who is to come. And whenever we read our Old Testaments and we read all caps, L-O-R-D, Yahweh, we should be thinking, oh yes, the one great I am, who was and who is to come. And that's who is seated on this throne. And so the four living creatures are saying day and night without stopping, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is to come. And then we're told that whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, then the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. And they cast their throne, their crowns, their authority they're given by Jesus, this vice regent delegated authority that they have from Christ. They cast it down before the throne and they say, "Worthy are you." Not worthy are we, but worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and power and honor, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. So the focus of the praise here is on God, the creator and the sustainer of his creation. God is worthy. If God did nothing else but create the world and sustain the world, if there was no gospel story, if there was no redemption, God would still be worthy of all of our worship, because he made us and he keeps us. And as the creator and sustainer of all things, the one by whom everything exists and has been created, he is worthy of all glory and honor and power. And so the focus in chapter 4 is on the glory of God in creation, with the four living creatures, the worship that he is due as creator. And then in chapter 5, starting on Wednesday, we'll get into the glory of God in redemption and the worship that is due to our Redeemer. So, Creator, chapter 4, Redeemer, chapter 5, the Lord God Almighty, holy, 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 who was and is to come, is worthy in chapter 4. Chapter 5, it's going to be worthy is the Lamb who was slain. So that's what's coming for us on Wednesday. Boy, I just love this passage of scripture. It's just one just read and just allow the imagery and the language to just saturate our imaginations and our minds with awe and wonder, that we might cultivate a heart that fears the Lord, that stands in awe and wonder of him. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you are worthy. Oh, Son, you are worthy. Oh, Spirit, you are worthy. Holy, holy, holy are you. Help us to live in awe and wonder of you. Whenever we see your creation, May our heart resonate with joyful, wonderful praise to our Creator. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. And so worthy are you. May we worship you always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Looking forward to being with you on Wednesday morning as we turn to chapter 5. Worthy is the Lamb. Have a blessed day in the Lord.